Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me, that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause.
Hear my prayer,
O God. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them.
I will offer you a freewill sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. A reading from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be the first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Following Jesus is hard. Sometimes it seems like for modern Christians, they don't see it that way. Still, the truth is that following Jesus involves setting aside so many things one might hold dear. It can literally and figuratively involve great sacrifice. Following Jesus requires a level of humility that many, perhaps most, struggle to attain. Last week, when the church heard Jesus predict his suffering, death, and resurrection, the church also heard Peter rebuke him for saying such things. Then Jesus defined discipleship as denying self, taking up one's cross, and following him. Discipleship is risky business, often for the sake of others. This week, and a bit further along in the larger story, Jesus again foretells the consequences of his disruptive ministry: suffering, death, resurrection. Again, the disciples cannot make sense of it. Instead, they argue about which among them ranks the highest, at least behind Jesus. Then Jesus again defines discipleship in a very challenging way. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Leadership means serving the other. I'm pretty sure such serving is not the kind of one-off service to others like presidents offering a few scoops of food at a soup kitchen for the photo op. No, this serving is a lifelong work. It challenges business as usual. I've been thinking about nap time at preschool. I am confident that in a mixed-age class, there are older children who are sure they don't need a nap. Sometimes their parents are convinced as well. Sometimes those kids want to rebel against the expectation. One question they need to answer is whether they are willing to set aside their wants and expectations for the sake of others in the room. It's an incredibly hard ask for a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. Or a 5-year-old. Will they lay down, settle into quiet, even risk falling asleep so that those who need a nap can get theirs? Learning to set aside one's own expectations, one's own hope, one's own desires, and maybe even one's own beliefs for the sake of bringing others along is a hard lesson. So when Jesus reaches out to a child, puts that child among the disciples, and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me," it is a big deal. Now, about this child, Clifton Black writes on the Working Preacher blog, "A child epitomizes the most subservient human in ancient society, one with slightest status. In Jesus' presence, a little child literally has standing. Jesus' embrace recalls his compassion for another child's father and Jesus' own standing at the Mount of Transfiguration as God's beloved Son. Jesus' embrace also captures a peculiar nuance in what we heard today, which reiterates the importance of a Greek verb that can mean receiving or welcoming or
approving one such child in my name, and indeed Jesus himself. There is the core of this episode. Those who have no standing in the presence of Jesus, they have standing. Children who were subservient, they were in so many ways only valuable in the larger society to the extent that their families valued them. Even then, they were fundamentally nobodies. But Jesus gives the child standing in the reign of God, in the community of Christ. This begs the question, who in modern culture is too easily denied standing? To be sure, there can be ways in which women and children live a double reality. On one hand, children are held in high value, high esteem. Parents bend over backwards to care for them. On the other hand, so many children live at risk for housing, for food, for medical care. Women still do not receive equal compensation. Whole swaths of modern society still tell women and men that women are secondary in household and commerce. Jesus takes these, places them in the midst of the community, and says, in the reign of God, they have standing. They have a place. So too, Black, Indigenous, and people of color find themselves in odd realities where some people claim to be colorblind, and yet some people of African descent have started naming their children with, well, white names so that their children can get through the early screens for employment. People of color too often have disproportionate encounters with law enforcement and are dealt with violently in those encounters. Too many of us who are white just cannot recognize their standing, their experience. Jesus takes these and places them in the midst of the community and says, in the reign of God, they have standing. They have a place. And the LGBTQIA plus community, too often these members have been slighted, have been hidden. Now, I personally have experience as a pastor of walking with people who have come out to me but are reluctant to come out in the life of the congregation. This, even as the congregation makes the claim that everyone is welcome. You see, the problem is that that message has been that everyone is welcome as long as they look and act like us. That they are welcome as long as they are not fully who they have come to know themselves to be. In this way, a church whose council of bishops declared a welcome in the early 1990s continues to deny standing to these children of God. Jesus takes these and places them in the midst of the community and says, in the reign of God, they have standing. They have a place. The list could go on. Certainly, we can talk about people with differing abilities who want and desire a reasonable accommodation to facilitate their full participation. They come to mind. In declaring the value, defining a place, providing standing for those whom the culture too easily denies, the church risks the cost of discipleship. Yet in doing so, as Bishop Candia said yesterday, the church is declaring the expansive love of God. Jesus confronts ways that his followers and the larger culture of his time sought to limit who could have standing. Today, the church, the body of Christ, is called to serve others by giving standing to those who often, so often, treated as subservient, as ones with slightest status. Let St. Andrew's Lutheran Church continue important ministry, centering, welcoming, and affirming that indeed all are truly welcome in the reign of God.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.